We're going.
Yes, we are. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. It's a weird,
weird morning for me because my phone did not charge. And on top of not charging, also died.
Wow.
So I've had it happen before where it didn't quite sit on the wireless charger right.
Oh, okay.
Because it does that with conductive charging or whatever. And if you don't sit it right, sometimes you'll.
Ah.
But I've never had it also die.
While on the charger. Does seem like an ironic thing.
Yeah.
If it's not on the charger, right, it's the same as not being plugged in, I suppose. So
I didn't get any of Mark's texts trying to wake me up.
I didn't send any texts.
Mark didn't send any texts because he didn't have his phone this morning.
I didn't even check my phone. Woke up at typical time.
Yeah, and got here.
Didn't even look at my phone. I'd probably been up for an hour and a half. That's just not something that I typically do till about 7:30 or so.
Yeah.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Yeah.
So it's just a weird morning. So we're getting a little bit of a late start.
It is.
But not so late. We can't say good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Justin. It was a beautiful sunrise this morning.
Was it?
You missed it.
I missed it. I barely got to my Justin rise.
Fortunately, Megan was involved.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. That's right. She woke me up.
Aren't you supposed to be doing something?
Mm-hmm. I was like, doing what?
You're still taking up half the bed. Come on now. Don't you have a place to go?
Like, I'm used to having the rest of the bed by now.
That's right.
That's a good point. But yeah, we got here.
Yes.
And we have a surprise topic.
Surprise topic to me, at least.
That's right.
Yes.
I won't be surprised because I picked it.
Oh, cool.
But
yeah.
All right. So the topic that I want to talk about.
Completely out of the blue.
Completely out of the blue. Yeah. Are you ready, Mark?
I am. What is it? You don't have a lead-in question for me before?
Oh, well. The lead-in question is, what do you think the definition of gaslighting is?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Basically, gaslighting, from my perspective, is when I conduct myself in such a way to make you think that you have a certain diagnosis, if you will, from my clinical viewpoint. I know there's a, you know, the urban definition of gaslighting and so forth, but as it's become my understanding of it is the fact that, I'm trying to convince you that you have a diagnosis, like you are narcissistic would be a good one. You know, it's like, you're a narcissist.
Hmm.
You know, don't you see you do this, you do this, you do this. You're a narcissist.
Hmm.
When in reality, it may very well be that other person that is the narcissist. But there is this ability to want to convince you that you are indeed the issue, the problem, that kind of thing. That would be my definition.
That's pretty good.
Well, like you say.
The reason.
What would you like to add to that, Dan?
Well, the reason I bring this subject up is because it's very culturally relevant right now for a lot of reasons, which I think most listeners would know. Mm-hmm. But for the particular reason that I chose this topic today is because Merriam-Webster chose it as their word of the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they do this based on it being searches. The most searched word within a given year. So it's data-based. That's how they pick it. So
I would dare say narcissism is close behind.
Lookups?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'd be curious to see that list of words.
It wasn't in the list that they showed.
Okay.
But
what they should like to say show there, top
they
10?
Showed like five, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So
So
It was searched on their website 1,740% more in 2022 than in the previous year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought, hey, this is a good culturally relevant, polarizing word. I mean, it is a polarizing word in the sense that when it's used to polarize, right?
Yeah.
It's usually used to separate further two individuals or parties or whatever.
Was Flying Monkeys on the list as well?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm just curious.
I'm going to read their little excerpt from their post about their word of the year thing, if that's cool.
Yeah.
In this age of misinformation, of fake news, conspiracy theories, Twitter trolls, and deep fakes, gaslighting has emerged as a word for our time. Mm. A driver of disorientation and mistrust, gaslighting is the act or practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage.
Mm.
So 2022 saw a 1,740% increase in lookups for gaslighting with high interest throughout the year. The modern definition of gaslighting, this is cool, dates back to the 1938. Do you know what it
was? A movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it started as a play, but it was adapted to a movie.
Yes.
Do you know what the plot was?
Yeah, it was to the point that a guy was trying to make his wife think she was basically crazy because he had orchestrated a way for the lights to come on, the gas lights to come on.
I was hoping to stump you a little bit with this surprise topic, but I feel like you read all this stuff. All right, so let me read this. But yeah, you nailed it. It dates back to the 1938 hit play Gaslight, the onstage thriller and its two screen adaptations. Chronicle a man's diabolical attempts to convince his wife that she's going insane by telling her that she's imagining the dimming of the gaslights in their apartment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when gaslighting was first used in the mid-20th century, it referred to a kind of deception like that in the movie. We define this use as psychological manipulation of a person, usually over an extended period of time, that causes the victim to question the validity of their own thoughts, perception of reality, or memories. And typically leads to confusion, loss of confidence and self-esteem, uncertainty of one's emotional or mental stability, and the dependency on the perpetrator.
Mm.
But in recent years, we have seen the meaning of gaslighting refer also to something simpler and broader, the act or practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for a personal advantage.
Mm.
Phew.
Nice sound.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good topic for Mark to enlighten us about.
Ooh, enlighten. That's
enlighten us, right? Now, so a couple thoughts.
Sure.
That I thought would be interesting to discuss. It's first, like, where you've seen it maybe recently in the media, or like kind of the where you've seen it truly, or where you've seen it called out, or maybe it didn't feel that way. And then as we continue to talk, I kind of want to talk about false positives, or how, like ways you can, I've heard the word gaslighting used as a way to gaslight.
Mm.
You're gaslighting. It's like,
sure.
No, that person's arguing for their viewpoint. Now, I found this really, we won't go there yet because I got some more stuff.
But you got some tempo you want to build in here.
Yeah. So first, I'd love to hear a little bit about
where I've experienced it, where I've seen it.
Yeah.
Sure. As a therapist, as a marriage therapist, I routinely will not see a couple individually. It's just not necessarily a practice of mine. Unless there is an aspect of abuse, you follow me? Mm-hmm. And, there's a point where they're not willing to gather together as a couple, but quite often in those circumstances, when I do make an exception based on what's going on, one partner doesn't want to see me, but one partner is willing, that kind of thing. I'll always start there. If somebody's willing to see me, I'm always willing, because I do believe, in the system, change in on one half, one part of the system begets change throughout the entire system. So that's typically where I'm going to run into it. One person kind of reminds me of Proverbs at times, because it's like the first person to share their viewpoint seems correct until someone else comes along and shares their perspective. So, I will hear words like gaslighting, used with couples. I will hear words like narcissism, and it's just interesting from my perspective how a lot of these cultural you know, terminologies will interface buzzwords. With, yes, they'll interface to a certain degree with the therapeutic world as well.
Hmm. Yeah. You know,
that kind of thing. Cause that's where it's kind of been adopted.
Cause culture gives us the vocabulary.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. And it's funny cause even the word bipolar, the bipolar became a diagnosis in the early, before I was a therapist. So, I mean, like you say, I've been doing this almost 10 years, and I can remember hearing the word bipolar from a therapist or, you know, someone in the mental health industry, early 90s.
Hmm. Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
But now it describes someone who just gets angry. You know,
right. Or
you get angry or you
multiple
get
emotions, yes, right? Within any amount of time. It could be 1 year.
And it's completely, you know, yeah, completely different than the original bipolar diagnosis type.
Right.
Thing. So, yeah, that's
which is very like quite clinical and
mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But culture has basically taken on that. What are you looking for? I'm sorry.
The beginning of bipolar.
Ooh, yes. That's when I first heard it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I honestly don't know when it, it was, like you say.
This is not a quick answer. They have a number, 1851.
Okay.
As a French guy coming up with a French word, which translates to circular insanity, which apparently was a beginning of the idea, but I was actually looking for.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted a soundbite, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're
1957.
Okay. Yeah.
Subclassification of bipolar disorder was first proposed by German psychiatrist Carl Leonhard in 1957.
Wow. So, yeah.
He was also the first to introduce the terms bipolar and something.
Yeah.
That's the snippet in Google, folks.
There you go.
That's all you get. That's all we need, really.
So, yeah. Right? I didn't mean to sidetrack, but it's interesting to me how...
I did mean to, but I apologize.
That's okay. It's interesting how, you know, our clinical world will, you know... We'll grab it and it'll become something completely different in our cultural world.
Yeah.
By definition.
Yeah.
So yes, back to gaslighting. That's how I have experienced it. And it's just been an interesting. And
gaslighting went the other way around, which is, well, I mean, I guess it's never truly been a psychological term.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
No, but, I would agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not in a DSM anyway, right. You know,
it really should be. I feel like they're gaslighting.
It might very well be. Yes.
I'm just going to start using that in all of our conversations.
I'm sensing that it was...
When I listen to anything that doesn't agree with me, I'm pretty sure they're gaslighting you, Mark.
Me.
You. Yes. I'm not listening to
it. You're likely able to see that that is not true. But I will likely fall for it in the context of gaslighting. Yes.
How have you experienced that in cultural things, politics, whatever? I don't know.
I'm going to say, I'm not sure that I have necessarily, you know, from a, I'll see.
That's it. Because you don't check your phone.
I don't check my phone. I rarely check my phone.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, you know, anything that, I will say that, Apple News, when it comes up with that line of that tagline of that says basically things you need to know. That actually frustrates me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like as if my life will not go on if I don't know what they want.
Apple says you need to know.
Yes, this about politics, about culture, you know, it's like, so yeah, that's how I would equate it in similar ways. It's like, yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you need to know.
Yeah.
I would dare say in a loose terminology, that's in some ways gaslighting. Yeah. But there again, it's like, no, wait a second.
Yeah.
What allows you the audacity, if I may say so, to define the things that I need to know in the process of my day? So, yeah. How about you? How would you say you are subject to it?
Well, I have some personal kind of thoughts on it and then cultural too. And my brain is, I've been trying to think of this term while you were talking, and I can't think of it. So you can help me. Okay. I'll just look stupid for the audience. But the recent, not recent, in the last 10 years where women have come out as saying, hey.
Me too?
Yes. Thank you. Oh, you've saved me. don't you hate that when you
get we did that pretty well. That was like in 10 words or less.
That was good. That was good. Yeah, that happens fairly regularly. You bail me out. It's good.
Vice versa as well.
So yeah, the Me Too movement, you know, there's that term was used a lot in that, in for good reasons, I think. You know, the Me Too movement was very heartbreaking for me because I think it is, that was part of where my passion came from when we talked about the power stuff and just kind of the hierarchy, the way it's set up, a patriarchal society and kind of the
male dominance.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. Kind of a lot of my take on that has just come from hearing the stories of women who, you know, have dealt with those things. And you think about like the gymnasts in the Olympics, and it's just heartbreaking for me to know like they're giving 152% of themselves to this sport and just so extremely dedicated to it that they don't know that there are lines that are crossed, because that's part of the 152% you get, you know, and so you allow them to do things that they shouldn't or whatever. And, you know, the gaslighting is what's happening there, where this person is grooming them to say, hey, you need this in order to whatever, to achieve this result. You need me to be able to whatever I'm manipulating to. And it's gaslighting. It's essentially saying you're crazy if you do, you know, it's that same idea of like, if you don't do this, you're not going to be at your peak.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I like the word you use, manipulation.
Yeah.
It's old fashioned, but still, yeah.
No, but I mean, that's the underpinnings, right? Yeah. Of the term gaslighting is manipulation. Yep, exactly. Sure. And
for my benefit.
Yep. And then same thing with actresses and stuff like that. And, you know, I think just to balance slightly, I know that there's, I'm not even going to go there. I don't care about that. I was going to say that.
You know, we don't care about balance.
Yeah. I was going to say that I know the Me Too movement has brought a lot of things to light, and most of it is really good. I don't know that there aren't some friendly fire, or not friendly fire, but some misfires or some things happening where it's based on this movement. There's a lot more credibility given than maybe should be. But overall, I guess, like I'm saying, I'm not too sad that, you know, many women are able to come to light and find some healing, and also help establish some change in some of these industries that are so geared for allowing gaslighting to happen, you know? But yeah, I just think about actresses too, and like a lot of their stories in order, you know, there's this perception that is, I would argue, probably given by the gaslighters to say that you cannot succeed in this industry without doing some favors, without whatever, without, you know, making, you know, some choices.
Who you know.
Yeah. It's about who you know. It's about how much they like you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about how much that you're in with them. And so again, if you're giving 152% to your career, then that 52% that's over 100 is doing things that maybe later you go, you know, that probably didn't need to be in there. Right. And, anyway, so those are some of the cultural things that come to mind that for me are just very heartbreaking and kind of true examples of gaslighting. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then personally, like Megan and I have had discussions where, you know, I've been a part of Celebrate Recovery working on my own self, you know, for 10 plus years. Right. So it's the cool thing about Celebrate Recovery is it's not just about fixing your addiction, that one thing you came in the door for. I'm an alcoholic, so I got to go get that fixed, and then I'll be perfectly normal functioning human being. Sure, if you think so, you know. Yeah. But it's really about peeling back the layers of onion and just keep, you know, working on the next thing that you find, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, one of those layers was the way that our relationship operated. And there was, on my part, some gaslighting, some like, basically in arguments or whatever, when I would get frustrated or whatever, the way that I would try and get through or get the conversation to get come to my side is like try and convince her her view was crazy. Mm. It's crazy because here's why, you know, this kind of idea. And as I have read some resources, or even before reading about gaslighting, I started to recognize some of those patterns that were just wrong. Mm. And also Megan, alongside me, has been part of Celebrate Recovery for those same number of years and been doing her own work to recognize, you know, because there's two parts to gaslighting. There's the gaslighter and there's the person being gaslit. Mm-hmm. And if that person can get wise counsel and can get, you know, whatever.
Individuality.
Yep. Gain some healthy individuality through supports. Yep. Mm-hmm. Then they can figure out how to get out of that or start recognizing you calling me crazy doesn't make me crazy. So Megan's been doing that same work. So we've kind of come to some crossroads where, and it's been hard because it's like, you know, what used to work, it doesn't work anymore. The way we used to deal with things can't work anymore. And we've had to work through that or whatever. And I would almost say that it almost felt like it went full circle, like too far, to where I stopped trying to argue for my side because I didn't want that gaslighting thing. And it became to where I could not, it almost came to where I was like, am I crazy? Maybe I'm crazy. And that wasn't the right place to land either. And Megan wasn't gaslighting me. I'm not going to say that at all. Like, that's not what it's about. It's just about there is a place for each person's opinions and working them out together. And
being able to value the differences because they are real in such a way that doesn't devalue them. I think that's a lot of what, you know, coupling, good marriage, good coupling is that ability to value who you are and that difference. When I'm able to do that, I believe your relationship can kind of go to the next level. But when I see you, your differences as being wrong, that's handicapping to good relationship.
Yeah. And in some cases, obviously, the differences are wrong. Like, there is a problem that needs to be resolved, right?
Yeah, the word wrong, I'm going to wrestle with personally.
Let's give an example.
I'm going to say there is aspects of so let's put it this way. If I am very insecure, so every time, you know, my wife talks with a male person, if I get jealous, okay, that's my issue. You know, I'll be perfectly honest, but you know, the fact that if my wife were to basically have a different view where our children are concerned, I believe that's healthy.
Yeah.
Because I think that's part of, and you know, not to, you know, sound sexist, but you know, she is just more nurturing than I am. As a female, I believe she is more nurturing than I am. And I think that difference, when I can value that she is just different, designed differently, then I think that's healthy.
You just have too much toxic masculinity flowing through your veins.
At times, possibly, but that's not what that was about. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's all good. But yeah, I think, you know, so I appreciate the clarification, you know, to be able to use an example, but.
Well, I have an example.
Sure. Go for it.
So if, like, let's say as the dad, if my kids do anything wrong, my default response.
Hold there. If your kids do something wrong, I think it's that's my, what are we defining as wrong?
I personally don't think that's important for where I'm going.
Okay.
But let's say
unhealthy.
Let's say we said they could not do X and when we weren't looking, they did it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So they did something wrong and that was what it was. All right. And one of the spouses, usually the male is the one in this that does these kinds of things. I know I've been guilty of it, but not to the degree that I'm about to say. But basically, every time they do something wrong, the male goes off. he yells top, you know, not top okay. of his lungs, but he's just yelling and harping every single time. And you see, and the spouse sees that and sees the child's countenance, you know, lowering and like basically a whimpering dog. Every single time the kid does something wrong, that same cycle happens, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that needs to be addressed between spouses. I would encourage a wife to say, hey, that's not acceptable. We need to correct our children. We need to train them up in the way they should go. We need a discipline, but that's not working. That's not the right way to do it. And we need to figure out a way to do it better.
That's a wise wife right there.
That is a wise wife. Yeah. And then
she didn't even tell him he was doing something wrong.
I know. She really picked her words.
About
she's
her
good
words
at that.
And her behavior. Yes.
She's a Proverbs 31 woman for sure. Just to be clear, we're talking about my wife. So she's done this for me. You know, she's gotten on me about the ways that I've gotten on our kids, you know, and I don't even know how we were setting all this up, but I think you had to do it. Sometimes the difference, there is a wrong side.
Okay.
And I'm so using this example, there have been times where Megan has said, I don't think that way is the right way. And she was right.
Sure.
And I looked at it and said, you're right. Mm-hmm. And gaslighting is this idea of saying, you don't see X, Y, and Z, you know, A, B, C, you know, all these things. So you can't even speak to it. You know, if you could see all these things that I see, you would respond the way I am and think that it is correct. But unfortunately for you, and I'm sorry, but you don't see those things. And I don't think you probably can because you don't have my maleness, whatever it is. You don't have the X factor that I do. Maybe someday, maybe I can teach you. I don't know. Like that
and,
to me.
And that's exactly where narcissism will come into play.
Sure. Yeah.
That's why
manipulation,
I quite often
narcissism,
see
those
all
two
those, words.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are very tangential, right?
Like, yes.
And gaslighting is just a way to get there quickly, I think.
Sure.
In today's culture. But yeah, exactly.
Too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because it's polarizing again.
Yeah.
It's me.
Do you agree? It's a polarizing topic.
I do. It's a polarizing topic. Yes, it is. So yeah, I think it is. And yeah, I think in some ways it comes back to that aspect of manipulation. You know, whether it's, you know, husband, wife, whether it's Me Too movement, you know, there is this power dynamic that we want to establish. And unfortunately, we're not always good at that. Sometimes even the people, you know, even you use a male example, there are wives that may do the same thing. You know, even in the Me Too movement, there are people who will use that movement and just to hurt someone, you know, and that's the unfortunate part because it calls the whole thing into question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it
discredits it when in reality, I'm in agreement, you know, there are some cultural dynamics that we need to be aware of and we need to address. And I think, you know, it's very similar. Even it kind of brings, we talked about gun control, but you know, I still previously, but it's still the same dynamic. I think those with more responsibility are responsible for protecting those with less responsibility. You follow me? The it's like adults should protect children.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Coaches, you know, should respect, you know, players.
Yes. To where it's not some
directors should,
I think there is a healthy hierarchy.
Actors. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you can spin that however you want to, but I think, yeah, all those aspects, those doctors were not protecting, you know, the people under their care, you know, and that is unhealthy. That's, you know, and that's where, yeah, I can really feel for those people. And, you know, and unfortunately, there will be those who use that system, and there may be, you know, certain doctors who were discredited, you know, wrongly, because someone chose to see that as an opportunity for their personal gain.
Yeah. And to your point too, like there are going to be examples and have been.
Sure.
Of people who, like you said, they hear this movement and it's a good enough fill in for what their problem is. Like, they don't necessarily have the tools to resolve the issue in their life, or they would have. And this comes along and you go, you know what? That's exactly what this is. And they redraw the parameters to fit. And then they use this thing as the tool for dealing with their conflict. Right? Sure. It's their conflict resolution mechanism and trigger. And to your point, like, that's not correct. That's it. They're drawing on something that doesn't quite fit and making it fit. Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be unhealthy. Unfortunately, they weren't healthy enough to resolve the conflict anyway.
Sure.
You know, so it's like,
yeah,
there is some dynamics there where that's always going to happen, where whatever's in the, what is it? Schadenfreude, the current cultural dynamic.
You got me there.
That might not be the word,
but it could be.
Someone fat current. Let's say it is.
Okay.
No. Anyway, whatever's in the current cultural dynamic, like they're always going to latch on to those things as a way to resolve conflict if they see it working, right?
Like, yeah.
So Me Too is like, well, Me Too, you know, yeah. I don't know that for an example, but
I'm thinking about it in that context. Whenever there is a form of, here again, manipulation, power control dynamics in play, you know, I'm going to use what I have. And if that's blackmail, if I may use an older terminology, you know, it's like, okay, I'm rearranging it because I think you wronged me. So therefore I'm going to use what I might know about you in such a way that I can shift that power control dynamic, and it puts me back in control, you know? And I think, you know, that's where I think it is healthy to have other people involved, you know, and I think that's what makes marriage difficult is because it's just two people. Well, our culture sees it as just two people. I believe God's always involved, you know, from a aspect, he's not always involved, but he desires to be involved, you know? And I think, you know, that's when we can find a source of truth in all the midst of the manipulation and the gaslighting, and we're able to say, okay, that's not how I see it. This is how I see it. And how can you recognize that my viewpoint is as important as yours? And we're able to recognize that as it will say, if I am in control, I am being the narcissist, and I'm telling you, you know, it's like you have that ability to come to me and say, hey, help me understand where all this pride and arrogance comes from that you see, you know, granted that wouldn't be the good way to deal with it, but, you know, to be able to address it in a straightforward manner and maybe even bring some other people along who are basically able to say, yeah, this is what I'm seeing. You know, and I think that's where I come into play at times with couples, because it's that ability to have two people and bring mediation into it in such a way that minimizes the manipulation, identifies those patterns and cycles that you describe that were unhealthy. And I think, you know, gaslighting is definitely one of those areas where, okay, why, what is the purpose behind me trying to convince you so harshly that my way is right? Because I believe that's where, that's the basis for it. Because I want my way.
Or that your way is wrong. Like if you're trying.
I'm trying to convince someone else.
I just realized, like as you were talking, I was thinking about some of the, you know, times in the past where Megan and I would struggle and I would, you know, attempt that manipulation, that gaslighting was when I wanted her to think her way was wrong because it was hurting me. And so, you know, it's easy to say that now, but gaslighting is definitely not the right way to deal with being hurt. You know, but that was part of, you know, my thing is like, you know, the way you're doing this is wrong and crazy, you know, kind of thing.
And I think that's a
good, rather than be like, you're hurting me, which would feel emasculating, which is dumb. Like we should be able to communicate that as men. It's, you know, you're doing a crazy thing. You know, you're crazy, you know, like I even think about like a lot of, you know, like those daytime talk shows, like how they just, you're crazy. She threw a frying pan at my head. She's crazy, you know, instead of saying, you know, you hurt me or whatever.
Right.
I think that, so in other words, it's not just about saying, I'm right. Sometimes it's about saying you're wrong. It can be used for a tool for both of those, right? Which,
sure.
Are they different? I don't know.
Yeah. But I think what I like in that is the fact that you guys were able to talk about that. And I like the aspect of being able to recognize when hurt is involved. You described it yourself, depending on how Megan addressed that. Okay. That aspect of being identified as crazy will quite often shift me to the other end of the spectrum, even though that I'm so let's do it. I'll use an example. Let's do it this way. I'll put aggressive on one end and passive on the other. Okay. In the middle would be assertive. There's boundaries, there's lines. I'm putting my hands up in the air to define this assertive. My the ability to say what I see and how I see it is assertive. Okay. But if I'm aggressive, I'm going to come across you did this, you did this, you did this. And a passive person is going to say, yeah, you're right. That's my fault. Neither one healthy. Okay. But the interesting part is if I've been hurt by aggression, that's going to tend to make me a little more passive. But in order for me to become more healthy, to move towards the middle for assertiveness, I'm going to have to appear a little more aggressive to get to assertive. You follow me? Yeah. So, and I think that's the difficult part when we've been labeled crazy, you know, on one end or the other, it's very difficult to start shifting because that's counter to what I'm comfortable with. That's counter to what I'm used to. And so when you described that between you and Megan, and she was basically able to say, hey, you know what? The way you're addressing our kids is a little bit aggressive. That hurts. So the tendency can be very well, then I'm just not going to say anything to our kids at all via the term passive aggressive. You know, because we have a hard time finding that middle ground that says, okay, the fact that I was wrong and I can promptly admit it. You know, we don't necessarily do that well because of the hurt that's involved when someone is assertive and identifies an issue in us. So, you know, our tendency in human and our humanness is to say, well, I'll just never do that again.
Right.
You know, but then in reality, that's short lived and we'll quite often go right back to the same old cycle and we'll be back to being aggressive.
Yeah. And that's neither one's, even if you stayed over there, like, fine, I'm button out. That's what your new reality is. That's no more healthy than the other side. We just jumped the shark.
Exactly.
It's not the right term, but I like that term. We're throwing out.
Just has been researching terminology.
We need a fact checker on our show. So saying you use that term wrong. And
jump the shark.
Do you know that term?
I do not. I wouldn't see assertiveness as a shark even, but I believe, you know what came to mind for me? This is a little age fact check. Evel Knievel.
Okay.
When he, you're close. Then he jumped the, I know he like jumped a pool in Las Vegas or something.
The origin of Jump the Shark comes from Happy Days when, what's his name? The main character.
Fonzie
jumps a shark with a motorcycle. And it was,
I wasn't far they off used,
yeah, evil. I know. You might have even been thinking of Fonzie. I don't know. That it's meant to describe the moment a show peaks and cannot, like, it's, or even maybe slightly past the peak where it's like, okay, they jumped the shark. This is a little too far, you know, that kind of thing. It used to be better and now it's trying too hard kind of thing.
I gotcha. So it's a drunk trying to ride a horse.
No, that's another term though.
Yeah. Because when you've been on one side, a drunk trying to ride a horse, it's very difficult for them to stay in the center of the saddle.
Okay.
They will typically lean to one side or the other.
This is the etymology show. Yeah, etymology?
It's like analogies.
The word origins.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Is it etymology?
We just did the etymology of it.
What's the difference between the study of bugs?
I don't know what the study of bugs is, but I'm going to look up etymology because
are you saying
I'm fact checking myself right now.
E-D?
No, E-T-Y. Study, okay. Yeah, that's right. Study of the origin of words. etymology.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
We just did etymology on etymology. That's how etymological this episode is. What was that? With a balance like on the drunk?
A drunk trying to ride a horse.
Okay. Is this idea vacillating back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Between passive and aggressive.
I think this episode has jumped the shark. Just kidding. I have, have you ever heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf? It's fine if you
have. No, well, there's a person that comes to mind that deals with thought stoppage, but it might not be her. But
she's a psychologist.
Okay. Psychologist?
I lost my link. One second. So she has a great Instagram account where she posts cool things.
Sure.
You know, helpful wisdom, that kind of thing. And I came across this one a while back, and I had to re-dig it up for this when I wanted to do this. But it's gaslighting versus disagreement, which is really cool. So, and if you're not familiar with her, she's great. You should follow her on Instagram. Very good advice. A lot of stuff we talk about, she has great.
Already talked about.
Yeah, in much better ways. In fact, when I was looking up Essie, I went to her Instagram page and I messaged her and I said, we could use you as a guest.
Wow.
How I See It podcast. We need you to come talk about some polarized subjects.
Cool.
She's not going to come because she's much busier than we are.
Did she reply? Oh,
no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Then you don't know that she's not going to come.
That's true. I'm trying to shame her into coming.
She's
going to hear this episode.
That's not going to work well, my friend.
Well, partly because she's not going to hear this episode.
But back to...
I digress. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to kind of walk through some of these differences. Mm. It's in this Instagram post. It'll be in the show notes. But,
cool.
And you can look at it. So it's nicer visually, but... you'll get that point. So gaslighting versus disagreement. So she has basically this Venn diagram, except the circles are not connected, right?
Sure.
So there's gaslighting, which is one thing, and disagreement on the other side. So on the left, she has gaslighting, which is manipulates you into questioning your reality and your sanity.
Yeah, that's the dangerous part of it.
Mm-hmm. Where disagreement looks like seeing things differently, but recognizing and respecting your perspective.
Because this will quite often happen, you know, the person has been gaslighted so much, they second guess themselves most of the time.
Yeah.
It's not just in that one area. It's like they're talking with me about what they're seeing. And it's like, is that crazy?
Yeah.
Is that crazy? You know, because they're second guessing themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think we always recognize how, I'll call it diabolical.
Yeah.
You know, that dynamic can be in relationship. If
when
I'm
you're
so
like,
convinced.
You're crazy to think it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not crazy.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's tough. And it can even happen without a gaslighter. Like some people are naturally gaslight. They just gaslight themselves because of how the environment they grew up in, right? Maybe at some point.
Guess themselves.
Right. I don't know.
Insecurity.
Yep. Could be due to lack of self-esteem, insecurity. Mm-hmm. Could be for many reasons. It doesn't always have to be a gaslighter, although it certainly helps. All right. So the next slide. Gaslighting is when they present opinions as facts and the only correct way to look at things, which again, it kind of ties in your narcissism. Where disagreement is, they are open to learning about your perspective. So it's, here's how I see it. How do you see it, Mark?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Healthy and unhealthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
The next slide. They shut down the conversation. This is gaslighters. And blame you for getting too emotional to handle it.
Sure.
Versus they notice things are getting heated and suggest taking a break to cool down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gaslighting is when they attack your perspective and blame you. And disagreement is when they're able to agree to disagree.
Sure.
Right? Last one. Gaslighting is the goal is to make you question your sanity. And disagreement. It does work. And disagreement is the goal is to come to an agreement or have their perspective seen.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's a really good, clear distinction. Like if in either side of that equation, we've talked about this before, it's much easier for someone who's being gaslit for them to hear us saying, hey, listen, if this is happening, pay attention and figure out whether they're you're being gaslit or you're being disagreed with, you know, that.
Sure. And
for someone who's doing the gaslighting, I would also encourage the same thing, but it's less likely they'll listen, right? Yeah. Kind of that same perspective. But, you know, look at that Instagram post and look at how you do your arguments. And if you fall more in that left category, I would encourage you to work on that and try and shift to that right, you know, that right side of that those diagrams to where you're learning how to disagree without gaslighting.
Sure.
'Cause I also think that is a tool that we learn, gaslighting, that works. It's like, oh, once they question their sanity, it's much easier to get my point across and much easier to get what I want, which I always think is the right thing.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
We wouldn't argue if we didn't think our side was right. So in our mind, most people, Mark's thinking about it. He's like, I don't know about that. But I think for most of us, right, we always think we're right. That's the tendency, is to think my position is the correct one. Everyone else is kind of outside of that. They're either in line with my perspective or not. And if they're not, they're wrong. Mm. Instead of the more healthy perspective to say, I'm probably right on some things. I probably got some things wrong.
Sure.
But even if you have the healthy perspective, you have to mostly trust that you have the right perspective, right? Like, that's integrity.
I hear you.
Right? It's this idea of believing what you think and thinking what you believe and acting on what you believe and all that.
But I think a person could also just come into a conversation and say, this is what I'm thinking. I'm not sure. Without necessarily saying, because I think that person is actually able to hear someone. Because if a person is 100% convinced that they're right, they're likely not asking for influence.
Right. So here's what I was trying to get to. I was going to say the healthiest individuals believe they're right. That there's nothing wrong with believing you're right. You should believe that you're right. That's I was trying to say that.
I got you.
So that being true, where we all think we're right, right? Just baseline, or else you wouldn't do what you're doing. You would change. You know, I get
it. I'm good with it. Keep going.
He keeps giving me these looks like, I don't know if I'd go that far. No, it's good. Yeah, it's good moderation. But the point is, you know, naturally we mostly think that we're in the right
spot. We don't typically do things that we believe are wrong.
Right. Our position, we tend to.
We quite often do things.
Yeah. That we believe are wrong.
Yeah. Well, that we think are right when they are. So yeah, I don't mean to.
So the point is, if that's true, we all want to, you know, believe that we're right and we want to hold that line. Some of us are going to find unhealthy ways to accomplish that. And if they're effective, in our mind, they're not unhealthy because they accomplish the truth my way.
Sure.
Right. And then you reinforce those feelings of I'm right when you see others admit they're wrong because they now think they're crazy or whatever. And it only reinforces that, right? Sure. So it reinforces this thought that I'm always right and everyone else is wrong.
Sure.
Because look, when I say this, they admit they're wrong, right? So clearly I'm more and more right. I need to continue to show everybody how right I am and how wrong they are. Because clearly I'm getting more and more of a monopoly on the truth.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It's kind of a form of bullying if you really boil it down.
Right. But again, you're like a social justice warrior. Like, everyone needs to know these truths because I have them and they don't, unfortunately. And I'm going to help them.
Sure.
I see. By any means necessary. I'm saying it's very rare where that person is thinking I'm a bully, but I like it. It's more often that they think they are right. They've truly believe it. And they think, as more and more they get reinforced in that belief, the more they will tend towards bullying because it's for the greater good.
As they see it.
As they see it, of course, yeah. Of course, I'm not saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get stuck in these patterns of doing whatever it takes because, as I found, it works. And when it works, I'm proven to be right.
Sure.
And it's this reinforcing cycle, right?
Sure. Just like chauvinism or any other thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of that power dynamic where if your power works to gain you more power, it's like, and again, most people believe they're right in their position. So as you gain more power, the more you can assert your rightness everywhere in your mind, it's all justified by the means. You know, the means is justified because of the result, which is more and more people getting right.
My way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think part of that side of gaslighting is this mechanism that works that reinforces itself.
Mm-hmm.
No, and so someone who gaslights is going to continue to do so and probably more and more throughout their life with this particular individual. But also if it works there, there's no reason they're not going to continue to try it in more and more situations. Sure. You know?
Yeah.
That's my thought.
No, I hear you.
How do you see it, Mark?
Well, I think people, as you're describing that. Yeah. I feel for the people around that person in long-term relationship. And yet I'm also thinking of people, those individuals who have that characteristic, you know, and their ability to maintain long-term relationships. Because if they engage with other healthy people who know how to recognize the difference between gaslighting and disagreement, they aren't going to necessarily have a lot of long-term relationships. Right. It's going to be the people that
healthy ones.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be the people that I can, you know, manipulate short term to get what I want short term. And it misses the long term opportunities of healthy relationship.
Yeah. And the thing about it, the diabolical part of this is it also depends on your charisma.
Mm.
So that's where, you know, some of the Weinstein, right?
Okay.
I don't know anything about him. I assume he had a lot of charisma to be that popular in all of the Hollywood circles. Like if you read about that, like he was top dog. Everyone, you know, people who weren't a part of the manipulation respected him.
Mm.
And the people that were also respected.
Sure.
Like, no, so to me, that speaks to some dynamic level of charisma on top of the dynamic we just talked about.
Right.
So the one you just mentioned is more about someone who lacks the polish of charisma.
Sure.
And so their friend group's going to dwindle and their healthy relationship is going to dwindle. In the case of you add a lot of great charisma on top of that.
Sure.
Now, again, their healthy relationships are going to dwindle as well. Same thing, but their actual relationships are likely going to grow.
Sure.
As people want to be in that circle.
Yeah.
And that's even more diabolical in the sense that it's more convincing that they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Although I'd argue that someone with a small circle just says, well, it's everyone else's fault. You know, sure. I don't know. I guess they're both bad.
And I think when you bring that kind of terminology into it, I do think it's a grooming that goes into, you know, play.
Yeah.
You know, as I, you know, have a certain charisma. Everybody likes me, you know, and then those other individuals who you are trying to manipulate see all of these other people.
Yeah.
And they think this person's wonderful. Yeah. And at the same time, they're not.
So I must be crazy to think they're not.
Yeah. And that's what all the, you know, that's what a lot of your current CIS type shows are about, you know, where this person was able to groom all of these people.
Yeah.
And yet they still had this ring of, I'll just call it terror in general, you know, over certain individuals that they were using to their benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
Because it's a real thing.
Sure.
I mean, again, Nassar, the Olympics coach, Weinstein, Hollywood. I mean, those are the two examples we've been talking about today. But it's very common in certain circles. And it's just so sad because our human nature can allow both of those things to happen.
Yeah.
It can allow us to become gaslighters and it can allow us to be gaslit and manipulated. And our human nature is just so fickle.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I do. I hear you. And I think, you know, it's always in hindsight in some ways. I think, you know, the parents of those athletes and so forth, you know, it's typically in hindsight that, you know, I feel so terrible because I recognize that I was manipulated.
Yeah. Right. Which adds to the shame cycle.
And
which,
my tendency to now second guess myself across the board.
Yeah.
I was wrong here once or I was wrong in this situation. I probably can't make any decisions now.
Right.
And you can understand how, again, how dangerous that is and how, when that trust is finally recognized that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just be
the trust given was not. Yeah.
Because you've already been half destroyed.
Mm, sure.
And now this kind of knocks the rest of the blocks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. In those situations, the biggest and best advice I think we can offer is get counsel, get, you know, get counseling, because they you have to be rebuilt.
Sure.
You know, at that point. And you're not going to do it alone.
Yeah.
So the healthiest way to accomplish that is to get counseling, I think. But, you know, there's other environments for that.
Supports.
But supports, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, support environment, support groups. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well done, Justin. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you for accommodating me with the surprise topic today.
Oh, yeah. I'm always good for a surprise topic.
Yeah.
All right.
It's your turn. Next surprise topic.
Ooh. That's fair enough. So that's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said dot click, as in dot C-L-I-C-K. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.